The Nuremberg War Crime Trials were trials of some of the most wicked men who ever lived. These men were responsible for the deaths of 6 million Jews during the Holocaust. One of those men was Adolf Eichmann, who killed millions of people in the concentration camps during World War II. Holocaust survivor Yehiel Dunner witnessed Eichmann's trial. He entered the courtroom and stared at Eichmann behind a bulletproof glass. The courtroom was hushed as victims confronted their butcher. Dunner began to sob and collapsed on the floor, and many assumed he was overcome by anger or bitterness. But Dunner later explained to Mike Wallace on 60 Minutes that he had been overtaken by a horrific realization. Here are his words. "I was afraid about myself," Dunner said. "I saw that I am capable to do this. I am exactly like Eichmann." Wallace concluded the segment with these thoughts. How is it possible for a man to act as Eichmann acted? Was he a monster, a madman? Or was he perhaps something even more terrifying? Was he normal? He closed by telling his viewers that Eichmann is in all of us, and we all have the potential of Eichmann. In a moment of chilling clarity, Yehiel Dunner saw beneath the skin that we are not morally neutral. We've often heard the question, why do good people do bad things? But the more appropriate question is, why do bad people do good things? As Augustine said, my sin was all the more incurable because I did not think myself a sinner. This is what Romans 7 is all about. It's about an infection that's in all of us, and it's called sin. Paul makes it personal by starting with himself. You could see that in verses 9 and 11, 13 through 14 and 17. He reminds us that the great apostle is a great sinner. Sin is the potential of evil in all of us. No one has sinned in such a way that others couldn't also sin. We are all infected by the devastating disease called sin. Listen how Paul speaks about this disease in Romans 7, 15 through 20. Here are Paul's words. I'm a mystery to myself, for I want to do what's right, but end up doing what my moral instincts condemn. And if my behavior is not in line with my desire, my conscience still confirms the excellence of the law. And now I realize that it is no longer my true self doing it, but the unwelcome intruder of sin in my humanity. For I know that nothing good lives within the flesh of my fallen humanity. The longings to do what is right are within me, but the willpower is not enough to accomplish it. My lofty desires do what is good are dashed when I do the things I want to avoid. So if my behavior contradicts my desires to do good, I must conclude that it's not my true identity doing it, but the unwelcome intruder of sin hindering me from being who I really am. Listen to the verse 18 again. I know that nothing good lives within me. That's a big statement. Why? If Paul reached this conclusion, we all must reach this conclusion. Have you reached that conclusion about yourself? Have you ever, without hesitation or reservation, put yourself before God and said, I do here and now solemnly believe and attest and vow and declare that in me no good thing dwells. This is what holds people back from being born again. They still hold on to the idea that we are basically all good people. Think about it. Why would God have to send his son Jesus to die the awful death on the cross if you and I are basically good and our goodness is what will get us to heaven? If that idea is true, then God is guilty of the worst case of child abuse in human history. It's illogical. Someone once said, God formed man, sin deformed him, education informs him, religion may reform him, but only Jesus can transform him. The transformation starts with the acknowledgement that no good thing dwells within me. Sin deceives us by making us think that we are good and that our goodness impresses God. Let me tell you what religion is. It's humans exhausting themselves to impress God enough that God will invite them to his house in heaven to live forever. It's the belief that we can influence God. Watchman Nee tells a story of watching a man drown while an expert swimmer who had the ability to save the man watched from the dock without even moving a muscle. When it looked as though the man was going down for the last time, the swimmer jumped in to save him. The swimmer explained his motive to Watchman Nee, saying that going in earlier would have drowned them both. He said this, "A drowning man cannot be saved until he is utterly exhausted and ceases to make the slightest effort to save himself. When we give up, then God takes over. He is waiting till we are at the end of our strength and we realize we cannot defeat the sin inside of us by sheer willpower." Here is how Romans 7 ends. The word "I" is all over this chapter until Paul lets out a final cry from the penultimate verse. Here it is, verse 24. "What an agonizing situation I am in. So who has the power to rescue this miserable man from the unwelcome intruder of sin and death?" And then no more eyes. The rescuer jumps in the water to save the drowning man who is going under for the last time. Paul closes out the chapter by showing us who can rescue us. Here it is, verse 25. The answer, he says, thank God, is that Jesus Christ can and does it.